Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey guys, whether you're a firefighter, EMT, or a law enforcement officer, you are absolutely going to love this podcast. We are talking to today Frank Lieb. He is the chief of the FDNY Fire Academy, and I am telling you, it is just filled with fantastic examples of work-life balance and self-care. And if you like this episode and of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie, would you please, with whatever platform you're listening on, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcast, if you could leave it a ranking where you see at the end 5 stars, if you love this, that would help others find this podcast when they're searching for various work-life balance podcasts, and it could help get the word out to some more of your brothers and sisters. But I am telling you, I would love to hear from you. Please send me an email at Donnie@DonnieHutchinson.com if you were inspired by this, because you are going to love this. Let's get started. Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Donnie, and I have absolutely a special guest this morning, or should say this afternoon now. It is Deputy Chief Frank Lieb of the FDNY. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Thanks, Dr. Donnie. I appreciate it and happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much. And one thing I always like to start off with is to, if you would, share us a little bit. You know, I know you wear more hats than just deputy chief in your career. You're involved in a lot. You know, I actually met you at a health and wellness conference where you were speaking over at the Brothers Helping Brothers. I think it was in October is when it was, just a few months ago. So I know you're doing many things out there. If you could, let our listeners know what some of those hats are that you wear.
Yeah, so I am currently the chief of the FDNY Fire Academy. That is my, by far, my biggest work hat that I wear. I am the chair of the FDNY's Contamination Reduction Work Group, an operations section chief on our incident management team. I'm a principal on NFPA 1710 and the newly formed standard on contamination control, which is still in the cycle. It's still being developed. We're in the draft form of that right now. So that is a brief overview of the main work topics that I am currently involved with.
Is that a full-time job then, all those things? Is that
well, so chief of the Fire Academy is a full-time job into itself, but the I'm passionate about training and I'm passionate about firefighter safety. So those things, all of those hats fall right into that. So while it's certainly more than a full-time job balancing just those hats alone, it's worth it because in the end it leads to a safer fire ground environment and hopefully a longer and happy retirement, down in the future, because Simply put, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't be a firefighter for very long, and you won't be a husband, a father, a grandfather. There's lots of other hats that you won't be able to wear in life if you simply don't take care of yourself while you're working. And you think about especially our younger firefighters. When you're 20, you think you're invincible.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of break that cultural change and recognize that, hey, we have to be looking past that and, to our retirement and say, hey, we want to get there and enjoy that.
Absolutely. Chief, tell us about some of the other hats you wear in life, non-career related, such as you're a husband, you're a father.
Yeah. 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 So I am a father to my wonderful son, Justin, and my wonderful daughter, Jessica, and my wonderful wife, Lynn, as well. So I enjoy nothing more than spending time with my family and traveling and making sure that I don't miss all of the important life achievements and goals and memories along the way, because you only have one shot at seeing those.
Yep, you're right. It's not a dress rehearsal, is it?
No, sir, it is not.
How old are Justin and Jessica?
So my son is 22 years old, and my daughter is 25 years old.
Excellent. Are they near you in New York?
Yeah, so my daughter is near me and has somewhat followed in my footsteps. She is a full-time fire marshal for our local town, which she's been doing for a little over 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
She's also been a member of the volunteer fire department by us, the East Farmingdale volunteer fire department on Long Island for the past at least 5 years. So she certainly has followed in my footsteps. My son, he's working for a consultant company. He just graduated from Johns Hopkins University last year, and now he's working for a consultant company in Baltimore. So we get to speak to him regularly, and with FaceTime, he's never really too far away from us, which is good, because family and that relationship is vitally important to me.
Oh yeah. But Frank, you mentioned that you had listened to the podcast before and read my book and various things. And for the listeners, one thing I always like to do is sort of go over how I define work-life balance. And you've been hitting it the nail on the head on this, is that, you know, for me, work-life balance is it's more about asking people a question. And that is, are your day-to-day behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life? And I heard you say that word, priorities, you know, you have top priorities and things like that. And that's where I really try to drive home the message, is that to get people to stop and reflect sometimes and check in with themselves with, hey, what are my priorities in life? You know, and when you think about your work-life balance, let's talk about, you know, what's going right with it. What do you feel really good about when you think about your priorities in life and how you attend to them and things like that? And how is that going for you?
Well, so as you often reference, the ebbs and flows of life, right? Are very important. There's times where you simply have to put in more hours. And in my current position, especially, that happens on occasion where you're going to have to put in more hours, whether they're in the office or certainly in online meetings, as we spoke about earlier, right? And phone calls and emails. So it's hard to not be engaged 24/7 and have the personal time sometimes, depending on your position. And for the fire service, one of the great things about a career in the fire service is there's the flexibility to be able to not miss a lot of the family moments. So you work depending on where you work usually anywhere from 40 to 56 hours a week. Some departments work a larger one. In New York City, we work a 40 hour a week is what it turns out being at the end of the year. And then overtime if you want. Mm-hmm. But like if you're studying for promotional exams, our members dedicate an enormous amount of times. Members typically study for a lieutenant's test for up to 2 years in advance. So you'd equate that to the way a lawyer would study for the bar exam, right? So, and during those times, you can have a tendency to be out of alignment. But it's to that alignment, you have to find ways to minimize the impact on your family. So, for example, when I was studying, when mm-hmm. I first started studying for lieutenant, I would make, at the time it was cassette tapes, and I would make cassette tapes of our books that I would listen to while I'm watching my son's football practice, which was three nights a week for at least 2 hours. So I may not have been the most friendly talking to the other parents there, because I was I would walk around the field or so I could still watch the game listening on my headphones. So I was mastering several different tests at the same time, without losing sight of my priority of being there for my son's practice or my daughter's lacrosse practice or whatever it was. And then each different, as it went on, when I studied for captain, I put them on, I burnt it onto a CD. And then when I studied for chief, it was onto an MP3 player on my iPad, on my iPad, or my no, my i I forgot even the name of it now, but you know, to now where it'd be on my, it'd be on my phone, and now I just listen to podcasts. I don't have to study. I still stay current. I'm a student of my profession. I'm always reading and listening to things related to make myself better at my craft, because you can, you never know it all for, that's for sure. But those ebbs and flows during life put you out of balance sometimes. But you need to recognize that and realize when I was studying for a promotion, it was to better my family, and it was temporary, and then I could get it back into balance.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, Chief, on, I mean, because I love that. And what a lesson for others to follow. You know, listening, you're studying, but you attended those practices of your son and daughter, as you mentioned, lacrosse and football. What drove you to do that? I mean, where did you get that inside of you? You know,
yeah,
how did that work for you?
Because I had competing interests. I wanted to excel at work, which and be promoted. So that meant I had to put in a lot of time studying. And you could get up 2 hours early in the morning before the family, and you could go to bed 2 hours late at night. And so then you're burning the candle at both ends and in the middle, and now you're not sleeping. So you're losing balance there. So you have to find innovative ways to find more time, to make it where you actually have more than 24 hours in a day. And how do you do that? By listening to a podcast on the way home from work, or listening on the way in, and maximizing any of those other, you know, downtimes. I might go for a jog and I'll listen to a short podcast, or I'll, you know, I'll do something along the lines. I have a phone call I got to make, or I'll make that phone call while I'm running. Sometimes that's difficult. I just got to slow the jog down a little bit, but it's maximizing those times, because otherwise it's very hard to keep your priorities and make it where you're not missing those events that are, you know, that were always important to me.
And why was it important to you to make it to those practices?
Well, so, I mean, we think, my wife and myself, our philosophy is to be involved, be engaged in the process, and be engaged in raising our children. You know, my wife had left a very good career when I started studying, with the agreement of that I'm going to study and put in this extra time because it'll be better for our family. And she was able to gradually work less hours and be able to be home more for the children, which was a tremendous sacrifice on her part. Yes, I put in additional hours to study, but she gave up her very good career and went to part-time. And at the time, there weren't a lot of people who understood the benefits of how much you could achieve from working remotely or working from home, because she had a job that she could have done a great deal of that from there. I think if if this global pandemic has done anything, it has accelerated the pace of accepted technology for people to better harness it to improve quality of life. You know, we deliver some of our remote training now, and I tell our members, we have people that live 2 hours from the fire academy. So if they drive 2 hours to the fire academy and then they have to drive 2 hours home, they're spending 4 hours in the car for a 7 hour class. And then when they get here, they're miserable, and I expect them to learn. Right. And they're thinking about that their son has a soccer game that night. So I could help them better balance their work-life balance and their family life, and enable them to make those things that are important. Now, the trade-off it is that you have to buy in and lean into the training. So we'll deliver it online on some days, because there's no substitute for in-person on some of the times, right? Because those are the relationships you build with your coworkers that are career long. So we don't want to lose that. But we tell them, lean in for the 7 hours that you're going to be in class. And then don't worry, you'll be done by the time your son or daughter gets off of the school bus, and you'll be home for them. By the way, you'll also be able to see them off in the morning, and you'll be able to get 8 hours of sleep, or hopefully at least 6 or 7. So our members have certainly brought into that. And I think that balance of that quality of life and looking out for your members is a critical component. As long as you're not delivering less effective training, the training has to be as good or better as it was or would be if it was in person, which I think that we have been able to achieve that.
Yes, absolutely. Excellent. And with that, you mentioned about the trade-off that you had with your wife, you know, and the kids. But let me take you back, and I want to ask the question a little bit differently. What motivated you to attend the practices? Because I think a lot of listeners might say, well, you know, I do my best to make it to the games. But why did you make it to the practices? Why did you want to be there?
It's supportive of my children and what they're doing, regardless of what sport they were playing. I wanted to be there. And when I could, I would coach. Coaching was a little bit more difficult. I coached my son's baseball team for a couple of years, and it was hard because there were days I simply had to work. So I would be letting down the other coaches when I would have to cancel last minute. I could go to a fire and not get there in time. You know, so it was me being the coach wasn't necessarily may not have been the best idea. But I guess it was probably the values that were instilled in me when I was growing up. I mean, I had my mom was always home and was there for us for everything that we needed. I'm one of six children, so I'm number five in that list. So, you know, my dad worked hard and often, but mom was always there and supportive for anything that we were doing. And you know, then with my wife, it was just natural that we had, you know, that we shared the same philosophy on being there when we could. And you can't always be there, right? I'd be lying if I said I made every single practice.
But no, I know.
There was certainly an attempt to try and make as many as I can and show my involvement and my love and caring for my family.
Oh, that's awesome. Love it. Can you tell me about a time where have you ever felt to where you were out of balance, as in maybe you weren't taking very good care of your health or a relationship or something? Did you ever get a little bit too far to where you either someone checked you or you checked yourself a little bit in the mirror anytime during your career?
Well, yeah. So several times. so every single time I've studied for a promotional exam, especially when it got closer to the test time, you know, to test day. And anybody who's ever studied for a very important exam could attest to that, right? You don't sleep as well or as much, and you're studying and you certainly get out of balance, but you know that there's an end date, right? That's not forever, and it's for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I would incorporate my family into it and explain to them and explain to my children, even at a young age, why I'm doing it. In fact, I have tapes from when I was studying, when I was first studying, that I would have my children read part of what I was trying to memorize.
Is that right?
Yeah. So information, the FDNY, we change our policies and procedures, to update them to as what's burning changes, as the built environment, as different things change, we evolve regularly with that. So we change our manuals are changed on average twice a month. So there's a lot of change, but the stuff that stays current, I still have tapes of my daughter and my son speaking into that, which I've transferred from tape. You know, I've put the recorder next to the recorder to get it to the newest medium that we're using.
Oh yeah.
And you know, so they were involved in a process in an intimate way that they knew they knew what the cause was and what it was, and that it was going to equal more time, or a little bit more money, that we can do more things as a family. So they knew it was to better the family. And they did that even when I was going to school. When I went on when I joined the fire department, I didn't have any college. I wanted to be a firefighter. I did not need college. So I've been educating myself through the process. And in 2016, I graduated from the Naval Postgraduate School, with my master's degree, in security studies. So, so they've been involved in that and have seen that. And obviously with some of the studying, my son would sit down or my daughter would sit down and go over, you know, they would be learning some of what I was doing. So it was, looking back, I think that was, I was a good role model in that regard. And that was the intrinsic value that I didn't even anticipate from that. But those are the, those are certainly some of the times when I've been out of balance. Deployments with the incident management team sometimes. I think about when following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, I went down there for 2 weeks. And my daughter's birthday was that same, weekend. So missing that, I regret that I missed that. I regret that I missed that even still, but you know, I figure for the 2 weeks I was there, it was for a greater good and it was temporary, but you know, I think you, you want to try and minimize missing those key life moments and realize that, you know, as long as you're trying to do the best you can, and you're not always gonna, hit the mark.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Let me switch topics on you just a little bit. I believe, and I think many do, health brings a freedom that few realize until they no longer have it. With that said, you think about it, and everything you know today about, you know, the physical and mental health challenges of being a firefighter or and law enforcement for, you know, when it comes to that, first responders. How important should self-care be in your profession? You know, how important is this? Should we be taking and focusing on our physical health, our mental health, social and spiritual, or any of those?
Well, if you're not taking care of yourself, nothing else eventually will matter, right? And what? I think so we have a relationship now with the FDNY with this non-for-profit 1540 Connect. And Jim Coughlin, who is their founder, he signs all of his emails and his text messages because we've become quite friendly since I met him. And he just sent me a text the other day because he came in from a firehouse with us last year. And it was the 1 year anniversary of that. And he was appreciative of our friendship and the visit to the firehouse. And he signs every email and text with health is wealth. And it simply without that, you know, you can't be the father, the firefighter or any of the other things that you want to be. And I think, you know, and they raise awareness to, they raise awareness. My coworkers are knocking on my window.
Hey, get to work, chief.
Yeah. So, and he, what they do is they educate, not only firefighters, but others in early detection of cancer. Right. That's what they're okay. all about. And so they came in and they did a train the trainer for us. And we educated our membership with that message. And, you know, so he had a similar story that I have, which is, you know, you have a friend who doesn't get diagnosed early because he has signs and symptoms and doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about one of the driving factors for me is my friend Ed McDonough, who died before he was 50 years old. And he had signs and symptoms of the cancer that he had beforehand. And cancer is a major problem in the fire service. And that is the driving force behind what I do and try and do with the FDNY and attending these different conferences and seminars to talk about it or learn more information on how we can do, on how we can do better to make it where our firefighters get to live long, healthy retirements because they simply, they give their all. Our firefighters are phenomenal. They give their all every single day. They risk their lives for others.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure that as leaders, that we're taking care of them. in all of these different ways, whether it's having them, giving them the ability to work remotely, you know, to do the training remotely instead of coming to the fire academy, having them go for their annual physical, or telling them when they should be educating them on the early signs and symptoms and how survival rates of many different cancers are higher when it detected earlier.
Yes, they certainly are, which would be very, very helpful. And talk to me about in the Fire Academy, is it in the curriculum about, is there anything in there about work-life balance or self-care and a lot of the things that we're doing in these various venues, training, health and wellness seminars and all of that? Is that making it, are we starting to try to educate in the academy so that instead of trying to get someone back into balance or back into healthy habits, they actually start that way?
Yeah. So we have, and that's a really good question. And a lot of training programs don't have that. But for us in the FDNY, our new firefighters, our probies, they get a day. A counseling unit comes in and speaks to them. You know, we have, especially after September 11th, we have a huge peer counseling unit. We'll send counselors to a firehouse if we know that they had a bad fire that had a couple of fatalities, or especially if it had something involving children and stuff like that. We have posters and different things posted in around the fire academy and in the firehouses for stuff regarding suicide. And, so we certainly are educating our members on that. Our safety command comes in and they do a one day program on all different stuff related to safety and some of those balances. We do a presentation on cancer. We have annual medicals, and on our annual mandatory medicals, we have a wellness checklist that gets filled out. So throughout the process, and these members, by the way, before they come on, they're getting these physicals. Mm-hmm. And then but before they come off probation, they have another one of the, they go for another one of these annual physicals, and it's asking you all these different questions. So I think we do a pretty good job of that. We don't necessarily call it work-life balance. I think that there's people drawn to the fire service because of the flexibility in the schedule. Mm-hmm. Certainly for me, I've benefited from that flexibility of the schedule and being able to be able to most of the time get off when I need to be off. You could have someone else work for you and switch your tours around. So I think that's an important part. So not just in probie school, but we have it in all different areas of the fire department at every step of the way.
Excellent. Well, if you ever need a chapter in that curriculum on how to keep your daily behaviors in alignment with priorities in life, I'd be honored to write it for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think it's more those lessons, the work-life balance, are especially important as you progress up the promotional ladder, because you have more responsibilities tugging at you that may be outside of your work hours as well. And I think that's an important consideration. And also for the leaders in the organization to be aware of the members that they're working with and see if someone gets out of that balance and kind of nudge them in the right way, or just guide them to the important points along the way. I remember I had a firefighter when I was a lieutenant. This guy was an avid Yankee fan, and I hate the Yankees. I'm a Met fan. So nobody hates the Yankees more than Met fans. Even the Red Sox fans, Met fans have you beat. But so I had this young firefighter, season ticket holder. The Yankees are in the playoffs. He comes into work and he tells me that he's working and he has tickets to tonight's Yankee game. It's the playoff game. I think it was the game that Aaron Boone wound up hitting the home run. The Yankees won the game on a walk-off style playoff game, really great game. Uh-huh. And he comes in and he tells me this. And I said, why are you here then? Without flexibility, why are you here? He says, I tried to get off. I couldn't get off. So you know, I told him, I said, all right, you're off. I'll take care of it. And we gave him a mutual off. He goes to the game. And to this day, he thanks me for him being able to make that event. And this is a firefighter who he works a side job. He's a hardworking individual. But he still, you know, I'll talk to him and he'll be doing his side job. And he goes with his side job vehicle directly to his son's baseball practice. So he recognizes, right, he's torn. He needs to make money. So he knows it's hard to stay in balance, but he does the things that he has to do to make sure it happens. But in that particular case, I felt like he wasn't taking care of himself. You're a Yankee fan. You'll regret that. If you would have missed that game, he would have regretted that for a very long time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great story. Absolutely. I'm not sure if I told you this when I saw you at the conference the other month, but my son, he was in the Army. He's out now. He is with the 82nd Airborne. He's an Afghan war vet, and he is back in Dayton, and he is attending the local community college and is in Fire One school right now and plans to take the Fire Two class starting in January. With that said, what advice do you have for these young men and women that come out of the academy when they're jumping? As you mentioned, they believe they're invincible, as most young people do, right? What advice would you have for a guy like that?
Well, first off, 82nd Airborne, that's pretty impressive, and a veteran. So please thank him on my behalf for his service.
Absolutely.
A humble thank you to your son for sure.
Thank you.
So what advice do I have for a new firefighter? First off, listen more than you talk. The senior firefighters know what they're talking about. And if they're willing to teach you, you should be learning. Never stop learning. I like to say stay learnable throughout your whole career. I read something or listen to something fire-related just about every single day. And I'm still learning. And I have 28 years now with the New York City Fire Department.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your health, wear your equipment properly. That's why we have it. There's a lot of taxpayer money that goes into funding our equipment. We need to use it because you have to be thinking for that long term of getting to that retirement, right? And I think in your book you have a fantastic quote that you have. And when's the best time to plant a tree? 50 years ago, right? When's the second best time? It's now. So, you know, if you plant that tree of healthy habits on day one, when you get to 50, 40, 30, 20 years later, and you still have your health, then that is incredibly important. I remember we had this physical fitness instructor in the fire academy. Now, this is 1992, Jim Meyerjack, an amazing individual in great shape. And he would tell us, maintain your flexibility. You need your flexibility and your agility for the fire floor. And he would tell us that as young firefighters, when we were very agile, right? We had all of that.
Yeah.
And he said, never lose sight of that. And he was always pontificating about the health of the firefighter and getting to the end goal of a healthy, happy, and long retirement. And, you know, so many of us, because of the different demands in life, it's hard to stay true to that sometimes. It's hard to find the time to eat healthy and exercise and keep those things in balance are very difficult to achieve with all the different competing interests. But do what you can, depending where you're at, find the time to do it and get some type of exercise in as often as you can. And sometimes that's just a walk, but whatever it is that you got to do to maintain that. I mean, he's absolutely right. And that was his whole thing. Every day we were in fire academy school.
Oh yeah. No, I can completely understand that. Very taxing job for sure. How about, let's talk a little bit about your marriage. What's the secret as a firefighter, having that having a good solid marriage?
Well, so even in marriage, right, there's going to be ebbs and flows, and you're not always going to be, you may not always be in the exact place that you want to be, but you have to give the time to that and make sure that, that you're not neglecting that. And I think in the times that, that I would say where it wasn't all rosy would be the times when maybe I wasn't, you know, I was concentrating on work more than I should have or other things. And, you know, you need to make sure that you're keeping those things that you're keeping that in balance. And, you know, they say a happy wife is a happy life. And, yeah. You know, I don't know who coined that phrase, but I would say that's pretty accurate. And we have so many things in common. And I think finding more things in common as you go around. My wife loves to cook. I love to eat. I try and help her cook. And people tell me all the time, like, how could you not be a good cook being a firefighter? And I said, I've been so fortunate to work with so many good cooks you know, I was the potato peeler. I was the guy that did, you know, the other stuff, but I wasn't the main cook. And that's how I am at home. My wife is an excellent cook. And, you know, but finding those different things that you have in common that you can do together that aren't where it's not just talking about work and the kids, because you can't neglect that part of it, because eventually the kids are grown and move out. And eventually you if you maintain your health, eventually you get to the point where you could retire and you want to be able to have all those things still in common with your spouse to be able to enjoy them.
Oh, absolutely. What do you guys do for fun? What do you enjoy doing for fun?
Without a doubt, the number one thing we like to do is travel. We love to travel. That's been a little bit difficult right now. And we like to hike. Those are probably the two big things that we try and incorporate into whatever we do.
Oh, yeah.
And even if I go to an NFPA meeting, or I go away to, I'm going to attend a conference, or if I'm going to go speak somewhere, it's common that she comes along with me. So I'm spending quality time with her. Now I could do that because my children are older. Mm-hmm. When I was going for my master's degree, I had to make several trips out to California for a couple of weeks at a time. And it was often that I would have her come and or the children come depending on their schedule. So sometimes it was only for a weekend. Sometimes I went in the summer and they were able to come for the entire time. And I think it's finding those times and maximizing those times where you can bring it back together rather than bringing it apart.
Yes, that's excellent. You know, I released a podcast, episode 15, this morning on November 16th of 20. And it's mostly about reflection and reflecting on where we're at in our lives, our journey through life, what's going right, all of that. Do you take any time to sort of reflect on those priorities in your life and how things are going? And if so, how do you do it?
So that's an interesting question. So where I actually say I don't think I ever consciously say I'm going to, you know, where I reflect back. There's certainly moments that you look back and you try and, you look to see or making, you know, your priorities. Like, so it's an overriding thought in my mind that I want to spend time with my family. And that thought is never really too far away because I thoroughly enjoy family time and time with my friends and those other times outside of work. And I think that reflection or the occasional of saying, yeah, you know what? I haven't seen my mom in a little while. I think I should make sure, you know, those reassessments. But I would say I don't necessarily put aside a time for that. They just seem to happen organically occasionally where I'm making sure that the priorities are right. But you could feel it when I'm out of balance. I know I'm out of balance. Like, you could feel it. Right? Yeah. You could feel it like you're doing something, you know, a week where you just like, I haven't seen my kids or I haven't spent much time at with the wife or whatever it is. You seem to always know it for whatever reason. that it sticks out. The same thing, the same feeling or similar feeling you get when you don't exercise for a week. And there's times I'll go to a class or something and there's just no time, because especially like some of the classes that are immersion classes where they purposely put you in a hotel so you can be engaged with the student body during the class and then at night. Right. So there's harder times, you know, those classes are excellent, but they make it harder to stay in balance with some of the other competing interests when you have those.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you were one of six children. I am also one of six children. And so would it be a long shot to say that you probably grew up Catholic?
Yes. No, that would be true.
And is religion and your spirituality a part of your life as a firefighter and as a chief? And if so, how?
Yeah. So growing up, you know, we went fairly regularly to Sunday Mass. That's probably the greatest challenge as a firefighter, with rotating schedules and different things like that to make Mass on a regular basis. But, you know, but even if I'm not physically at the church as often as I, you know, as I probably should be, prayer and that type of, you know, reflection and the spirituality in that regard is certainly always there. And it's, you know, those teachings and upbringing are ingrained in me. They're part of who I am and what I am without question.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I completely understand you with that. Well, let me ask you, Chief, is there anything that I did not ask you that perhaps you hoped that I would have, or that we did not spend enough time on?
No, I think you covered all the topics I would have anticipated, and then a couple of other topics as well that I may not have been expecting. But I think I think you hit them all. I think it's just, I guess if I had to say one thing, is understanding that where you are in your career and the different times, maintaining a balance in your work and your work in your home life doesn't mean you can't succeed, and recognizing that depending on where you are in your career, or if you're studying for an exam or whatever it is, there's times that you simply have to dedicate more time to those things. And if you don't, that could be the difference between getting promoted and not getting promoted, and getting promoted financially in the career service of the fire service, you know, the career part of the fire service, you know, makes it where you can better take care of your family. So understanding that, and understanding that those balances are sometimes going to be out of whack temporarily, I think you have to look at the greater good and what you're trying to accomplish. If there's an end goal and it's not perpetual, I think that that's where the greatest benefit lies. And that has to be understood by the people that are studying, and that has to be articulated to the family members, because they're the ones that suffer the most. You know, I could never have gotten promoted, not even once, if I didn't have the support of my wife and my two children. Without them, you know, they are as great a part of my success as anybody is.
Yes. And hopefully they listen, or they hear that, right? I'm sure you tell them that, and you have told them that.
I have told them that, and I tell them that often. Yeah, you know, and they recognize that, because they wind up, I get promoted and there's a promotion party for me. And I always tell them, this is just as much for you as it is for me. Cause it really is the truth. Because if you don't do that, the family that doesn't understand that you can grow apart from them, because it is an inordinate amount of time that you have to dedicate to get promoted. You can't just go in on test day and wing it, because you simply won't get promoted. So that's an important consideration for anybody that's studying for major promotional exams or tests of any sort.
Yes, yes. Is there anything else you can think of?
No, I think you covered it all.
All right. Well, Chief Frank Lieb, I absolutely want to thank you for being my guest on the podcast of the Get Balanced podcast, as well as just to let you know that I sincerely appreciate you, and I appreciate all that you do, as just like many others do. And one thing, I'm just going to toss it out. I do with my guests. If you would have an interest to give the listeners and firefighters, law enforcement, first responders in the world a final blessing, close out the podcast.
I certainly will. So just wishing all of and praying for all of our first responders, whether you be in fire, EMS, law enforcement, and our military personnel, the best and health and safety as we move forward in 2020 and beyond, and that we could get past this COVID pandemic safely and as quickly as possible. Amen.
Amen. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.